If you're like me and don't understand music, but really enjoy it and love learning about new types of music and the culture behind it, this short podcast is going to be right up your alley. In this podcast, I'm going to look at West African music, Ghanaian music specifically, and how their music developed from traditional to 21st century. There will be lots of listening involved, and all of the links will be listed for your later listening. We are going to progress forward in time, starting with the more technical and detailed ideas of the core tribal music. This music is a combination of music from the Iu, Degomba, and Akan people, who make up most of the ethnic tribes in Ghana, since they originally conjugated there. But they all originated from the Sahili Sudan area. I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty here, just so you can get an idea of how their music progresses, what is added to it throughout the ages, and be more aware of that when you're listening to the music. Some of their instruments include agogo bells, which are the kind of bells that are connected by a metal curve, with a big bell at one end and a small one at the other. They often play clave patterns like these. And but sound a little more like this. There's the cow horn, gourd drums, which look a little bit like oversized rattles. They're very round drums and are shaped a little bit like a bowl. Barakit drums, which are tall and cylindrical. Talking drums, also known as lunsi drums, which are two-ended drums, each with a conical curve that meet at the middle. The musical bow, which is a bow with a single steel string, much like a guitar string. You put one end of the bow on your lips with an open mouth as a resonator. You change its pitch by touching the string and flick the bow with a stick to make noise. This is what it sounds like. The rattle, the kalogo lute, which is a round bottom banjo but with only two strings, and it's played with a pick. The ganji fiddle, which is much like the kalogo lute, but is played with a bow instead. It sounds a lot different. And last but not least, vocals. That list may have gone a little bit fast and unclear, but really what I'm trying to say is that their music is highly string and percussion based. With these instruments, there are a lot of repetitive rhythms and melodies. With the percussion instruments, there are a lot of polyrhythms. The legend does a pretty good job of explaining what that means, but if you didn't completely catch it, it's simply having two or more conflicting rhythms. This excerpt right here out of the Barakit ceremony from the Iu people is a really good example of these polyrhythms that are put into their music. You may not be able to tell, but there are actually six different rhythms going on here. Now we'll move on to the development of their music. This really started in the Gold Coast period. The Gold Coast period was the time when Ghana was exposed to the UK and other countries due to World War II, which was the late 30s to early 50s. This is when they started to be exposed to more Western music, and something called high life was beginning to develop. People tried their hands at brass bands, new guitar styles, swing, jazz, funk, calypso, also referred to as Afro-Caribbean, soul, church, and Afro-Cuban in addition to their traditional music. The sound was mostly jazzy horns and guitars that led the band, but also with very present percussion. With this new music called High Life, there were two forms. There was one performed for the British elitists, Then there was the one that was more developed by the people of the country. The latter had less brass and more guitar, as well as more lyrical meaning. This form, which is well shown by Ya Amponsa, gained popularity and evolved into different subgenres of highlife and modern Ghanaian music. During the 60s, Ghana kind of lost their music style, which was a large part of their culture, and began gravitating towards the European and Western pop. However, in 1971, the Soul to Soul Music Festival was held in Accra. Lots of iconic black musicians showed, such as Wilson Pickett, Ike Turner. The fact that they were all black and showed in Accra is thought to have revived and validated the Ghanaian roots of music, and subsequently, the early tribal music and highlife became popular again. But it also led to popularity in American rock and soul. A little bit unrelated, but people also began experimenting more in Jamaican reggae. It was around this time that Ghanaian music boomed, because people were moving to the UK, and their music was getting more publicity. However, when the UK's immigration laws changed and the Ghanaian people were required a visa to enter, people began moving over to Germany in the 80s. This is where a popular sub-form of highlife evolved. It's called burger highlife. It can be described as regular highlife, but with a lot of added elements of disco and funk. Also a little bit of reggae attributes, but mostly disco and funk. Prime example of the 80s. This right here is some burger highlife by Sam Dershey. When we look at the 2000s, we can see that highlife has started to develop into something more modern and increasingly present in hip-hop attributes. During these times, rappers gained a reputation internationally, and Ghana started incorporating hip-hop elements into their music to make hip-life, which includes rap over the sounds of pop and highlife mixed together. This is VIP by Manenko. Well, that's all I have to say about the development of Ghanaian music. I hope you learned a little bit and enjoyed. Make sure to check out the great artists in the description.